are in Genesis 39, and we get in, to my opinion, some of the most fascinating few chapters of the Old Testament. And we've already started it in 37, and I'm probably not going to get very far tonight, because it's just, it's one of those, in my opinion, it's a very rich text, and we don't want to start putting a lot of it together, and so we're going to break it down as we go. But just to catch you up, most of you have been here, so it's not really a catch up, but we're not going to go all the way back to Genesis and start with Adam or start with Noah or anything like that. But just for this family, it does start with Abraham. And then we have, you know, obviously Abraham starts this whole deception thing. And then he goes on to Isaac, passes that gene along. And Isaac is tricked by his son Jacob, which means deceiver. And Jacob starts this life of deception. And then he lives it himself. He tricks his father-in-law. His father-in-law tricks him. And they go back and forth. And then we see possibly the ultimate deception in all this. Jacob has his 12 sons. And 10 of them did not like Joseph at all, because he was the favorite. So they trick their father, and they tell him that he's dead, and they sell him into slavery, into the Ishmaelites' hands. And so that's really where we're at now. Now, as we'll see, Joseph will say later on that this was all a part of God's plan, and we understand that and we agree with that. But we have the luxury of reading that. Remember, Jacob doesn't have that luxury. Joseph, most importantly, doesn't have that luxury of knowing that at all times. So we'll kind of look at that just a little bit here tonight. And so we start in chapter 1. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, a captain of the guard, brought him before the Ishmaelites. bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. Now there, you know, we're not going to get into a lot of this on what all Potiphar's, you know, his name means. It means something in Egypt, and also there's other avenues that we could chase, but I don't think it's gonna probably help us in our study tonight that much. But some people even say Potiphar, the way the terminology of this is, the official, that he could have been a eunuch, that many of the Egyptian officials in the Egyptian court were eunuchs. We don't have any proof of that, so we don't know for sure. What we know, more than likely, that Potiphar, based on this, was more than likely similar to the chief of police or the head of the secret service. He would be something like that. He took care of Pharaoh's court, and he was over all security. And so he was a pretty powerful man in more than one way. More than likely, not only did he wield great power, but he was probably one of those people, maybe even a physically imposing person himself. So Potiphar, and I've always wondered about this as we get into it. We won't even get into it this week, but it would seem like Potiphar would have had the power and definitely the strings pulled, that he wouldn't even have had to thrown Joseph in jail, that he could have just killed him on the spot. And so I've always kind of wondered in the back of my mind, did he really believe his wife? Was there some shred of doubt that, hey, my wife's in trouble, but I've got to act like I believe her and throw this guy in prison? So I don't know. Maybe he didn't have that power. Some people that I've read have suggested that. But so here we have the scene. Potiphar, he buys Joseph from these Ishmaelites. Joseph was 17 at the time, and he brings him into his house. Now, notice there is a theme here over the next few verses as we read it. The Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household, And all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So he left in Joseph's care everything he had with Joseph in charge. He did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Now Joseph was a well-built and handsome man. Actually, I'm going to stop right there for a while, fish on six, and that's probably where we'll chop it off tonight. But as you read this, you see it, and it's mentioned 3 to 4 or 5 times what's going on here, that God was with Joseph. Now, if you fast forward a few years to Elijah and Elisha, and I've prayed this prayer several times myself in my life. Elijah asked Elisha, "What can I do for you before I leave?" And he said, "I want a double portion of your spirit." In other words, I want a double portion of the spirit of God on me because there's this spirit that you have. And Elijah said, "I cannot grant that, but you know, if you see me, then you'll grant it," and all this stuff. So in other words, Elisha asked for this double portion of God's presence, God's spirit in his life. When Solomon, before he goes bad, God says, "What do you want?" He doesn't ask for money or long life. He asks for wisdom. He asks for prudence to rule over the people, which was another good thing. But I can't really think of anything better in life than for people to say there's just something about that man, that he has the presence of God about him. He has the spirit of God on him. And so that's what Joseph had. It's not that Joseph had earned it. It's not that Joseph deserved it, but Joseph had God's presence on him. He was anointed from God. But that did mean that he also sought God. It says, "So the Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered, and he lived in the house of an Egyptian master." Not only did Joseph prosper, you've seen this, but all the people around him prospered because of him. There are some people in life that when you see them, you sense the presence of God, and then you also sense that people around them are blessed just for being in their presence. And I say this on here, and if Catfish is recording it, the tens of thousands of people that will listen to this one day will hear this, but I know most of you will probably agree with me on this. I always have that sense when I'm around Brother Junior. When I just sense when I'm around him that he has always had the presence of God about him. And when I'm around him, it's just like you feel this aura, not to worship him in any way, but he's just one of those people that you just sense the presence of God in their life. And so Joseph was that person. He was anointed from God. He was hand chosen for this situation. And not only was Joseph blessed, but all of his house was blessed as well. God did not abandon Joseph even during this time. Now, you imagine a 17-year-old, and if you can think back to then, I can't imagine at 17 being ripped away from my family. And most of us are old enough to go back to a time where there wasn't mass communication. If a 17-year-old now, they would probably have a cell phone, they'd be home by midnight or by nightfall. But even then, back when I grew up, we didn't have cell phones, so I can't imagine somebody ripping me away from my family at 17 and even taking me a couple of states away and me waking up thinking, what in the world am I going to do? But here's Joseph. He's in this foreign land. He has no idea really what's next in his life. But here's what God is teaching Joseph and what God teaches us through this, that he wants us to trust him wherever we are. Now, he didn't tell Joseph, "Hey, I'm going to be with you as long as you're in Goshen. But when you go to Egypt, I'm going to leave you." Even in the midst of these circumstances, God's presence was in his life. If you've worked long enough, you've probably been in a job or had a boss you don't like, or been somewhere, had a coworker or something you didn't like. And so we can kind of put ourselves in this situation here, that God wants us to trust him wherever we are, whatever stage of life we're in, whatever it's something physical or something mental, something spiritual, that God doesn't say, "Hey, I'll get you through this part, but the next part, I can't." And then we also see that Potiphar saw that Joseph was blessed. Look at where he says, from the time he put him in charge of his household and 5 and all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household and the blessing of the Lord was on him. So Joseph had left everything there. Go back to 3. I'm sorry, jump to it. It says, when his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did. We ought to have that same spirit about us, that because we have the Holy Spirit living in us, that people ought to see us like Joseph and say, there's just something about that person. There's just something about him. Joseph, there was something different that Potiphar saw. He said that Potiphar noticed it. He said when his master saw that the Lord was with him, in other words, people ought to say, hey, there's something, I can tell God's anointing's on his life. I can tell God's blessing him or God's blessing her. I can tell God's leading her in everything she does. In other words, we ought to point people to Jesus and everything we do. Notice that Joseph did not wait for a better position. He wasn't saying, God, you know, you've brought me out of Goshen. You brought me out of where you told us we'd be. You've brought me to Egypt. And I know one day, God, you're going to make me prime minister over all this land. And I know one day, God, those dreams I've had are going to come true and people are going to be bowing down to me. And when you get me out of here, I'm going to serve you. And there'll be a presence about me. And that's not what Joseph did. Joseph just lived obedient, even where God had him right there. He didn't wait. Now, one of the things they hammered home to us in seminary, and I agree with them 100%, is don't get to a job. And I know my situation was very different. First of all, I was older, and second of all, I grew up here. And I know it's totally different, but most people come out of seminary and they take a pastorate, and the average pastorate's 2.3 years. Now I think are 2.7 years. And they leave because they're burnt out or because it's not a good fit and all that stuff. And one of the things they teach us is whether you're a youth or whether you're an associate or whatever church you're at, say you're at a small church, don't start praying for God to get you out of that situation and say, God, if you just get me to a bigger church, I'll do this. One of our teachers always told us, if you want a big church, then grow the one you're at. Don't think that if you preach great, some big church will come get you. He said, if you want a big church, then grow the one. So, in other words, when whatever stage you're in, if you're the youth person, don't say, well, I can't wait to be the pastor. If you're the pastor, say, I can't wait to be the mega pastor. If you're that, well, I can't wait to write books, or I can't wait to be a seminary professor, all that stuff. And then put it in your world. I can't wait to do this. Joseph wasn't waiting on a better position. He just made the most out of being the servant that he was. Now, I don't know where you're at in your life. God has you where he has you for a certain reason. Understand this, that Joseph lived in this house probably 11 years is about the timeline. He was 17 when he was sold into slavery. He was 30 when he became the prime minister, so that's 13 years. And he was in prison about 2 years. So for 11 years, he worked as a slave, as a servant in this house. He didn't get promoted on day one. It wasn't that Joseph goes in on day one and Potiphar goes, you know what, that guy, he's pretty good. He cooked a mean lamb and he knows how to change the remote on the TV, so let's promote him. It took him some time. We don't know how long, but it took some time. So for 11 years, he made the most. He was a very diligent steward of what God had given him, where he was at. Again, to go back and put it in pastoral terms, if you are a youth person, be a good steward of where God has you right there. If you are whatever you are, if you're a pipe fitter, be a good steward of that time. When you get to be promoted to the head person or when you get to be the plant manager, then God will do that on his own time. But when he arrived, understand that he didn't know the language. It was a foreign language. He didn't know the customs. So all this stuff, in order to run this house properly, he had to learn the language. If you drop me off in the middle of Guatemala right now and said, hey, we need you to run this massive house, well, it'd take me a while because my Spanish is not very good. But my Spanish is my second best language, okay? Just because I go enough to know a few words. If you drop me in France or Russia, somewhere else, I'd be in great trouble. Here's Joseph. He doesn't know the customs. He doesn't know the language. He knows nothing about this land he's in. So he could have pouted. He could have said, you know what? God's put me here. I'm gonna go about my business. I'm gonna cook, and I'm not gonna try to learn anything. But Joseph didn't do that. He didn't pout. He worked his way up. He was a good steward. He was very diligent in where God had him at that particular time. And so when he got there, he worked his way up. So what does this tell us? And then we'll put a bow on this tonight. And next week we start with he was well built and handsome. And so it tells us this, that we have to make the most of where God has us. Now, Joseph never asked for this, technically. I know, you know, you can make the argument, well, he shouldn't have told him about the dream. But Joseph was a young man of 17. He never asked his brothers to put him into slavery. He never asked God, hey, God, I want to be powerful one day. I like power. I want to save people's lives. I want to be the prime minister over Egypt, and you know, I want people to come to me because I like helping people, and I want to be able to hand out food, and by whatever means necessary, God, get me there. He never prayed that prayer, but God knew, as we'll see later, that Joseph was going to be there. He's going to be there for a reason, because of his great mind of organization and structure and all those things, that God put him there for a reason, to be diligent. And so all the time, God was preparing him for this place. Well, if he can run Potiphar's house, then he just gets to step up and run the nation a little bit. If he can't run Potiphar's house, he can't run all of Egypt. So his time of being a steward, of managing, you have to understand that all of these, every household, especially somebody that was rich, had more than one servant or more than one slave. And if he was over all of the house, then he not only managed the house, he managed all the stewards, all the slaves, all the servants in that house, whether it be the cooks or the person that cleaned the drapes or whatever it is, he's over all of them. He even has access to a bank account. And so he has everything. He has the master's full respect and authority and all that stuff. So in order to run somebody like that, this prepared him for that next phase. Now, where God has you right now, he is preparing you for something else. I don't know what it is. It may be for eternity, but God's always working. He's always in control, and his provident hand is always guiding. Now, we don't always understand that during the season. Joseph, as I said, we're getting to read this. When Joseph was in year 3, he's probably not thinking, man, the readers of Genesis one day are going to look back and go, what a story. He's not thinking that. And that's not what we're thinking as we live our lives. But as our children and our grandchildren see us live our lives out, they can look back and say, I know Dad, or I know Mom, or I know Granddad or Grandmom was faithful to God in everything they did, and they lived a life that was obedient to him no matter the circumstances. And so wherever God has us, it's easy to say, I know. It's easy to preach. It's a lot harder to live. We are to make the most of where God has us. All right, let me pray, and then we will entertain thoughts and questions. Father, we love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you that it does not return void. And we pray a blessing on the reading and the study of your word tonight. Bless these people, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Any questions on the text?